I was thinking about Easter and my family. I know a lot of us are going to leave here and I'm going to go visit family. And I was thinking about all the different foods that are specific in Italian family, so everything had red sauce on it. But there's a lot of things we associate with Easter: food, family, get together, Easter bunnies, eggs, chocolate, bunnies, chocolate, dark chocolate, maybe. And I was thinking, what does Easter mean? This is the reason we all get together. What does Easter mean? And one of the true meanings of Easter is Resurrection Sunday. There are several root words, but Resurrection Sunday. And I want to go back to, resurrection is a strong word. It's not a weak word. Resurrection Sunday is when something is resurrected, you are giving life. It is something is brought back to life. And I want to look at that today. What does it mean to bring something back to life? What can we trust in if this really happened? So if you go back to the original event, the reason we all get together, the reason you're going to leave here and go be with your families and have ham and fun and all the original event happened a little over 2,000 years ago. And if we look at the timeline, last Thursday, if you would go back 2,000 years, last Thursday would have been the Last Supper, when Jesus would have met and had his last meal with the disciples. Friday would have been the crucifixion. He was crucified, he was flogged, he was crucified, he was put into the tomb. The stone was rolled up to the tomb and it was guarded by the Romans. And today is Sunday. So I want to look at this. I want to actually read this here, the story. This is in John 20. And let's see if I can find the Gospel of John. Here we go. So this is Sunday morning, the first Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday. This is what happened. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stopped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He noticed the linen wrappings were lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from other wrappings. The disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until now they still hadn't understood the scripture that said Jesus must rise from the dead. And then they went home. This is what happened. Up to now, they really didn't understand that Jesus was going to give his life and come back to life. They didn't get it. And this is the first person we have record of who believed. And we're going to look at what that means and what we can trust in. So why don't we pray and commit our few minutes together to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that what is here is true. It is what has really happened. And we need to be reminded. We get distracted. I get distracted by so many things. Help us to realize the truth together today. Amen. So this group, Mary was first and noticed this. The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. And she went and told some other people, "They've stolen the body. They put his body somewhere." Why would they think that? Well, if you know anything about being scourged and crucified, it's not something you recover from. It's not something the next day you go, oh, I'm feeling much better. You don't get better. Even if you had lived through it somehow, you wouldn't be looking good the next day. They took the body. So you know what happens next? This is what happens next. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and she wept, and she stopped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head of the other, at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. The angel says, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" The angels asked her, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." She still doesn't understand. She's going, they took his body somewhere. He's gone. I came here to mourn his death, and he's gone. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. And Jesus spoke to her. This is what he said, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her, "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "If you've taken him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." Now, this is what happens next. Jesus says her name. And however he says it, he says, "Mary." She knows instantly that it's him. She turned to him and cried out, "Teacher, Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. She cried out. As soon as he said her name, he said it, however he said it, she knew that it was him. And his body wasn't missing. And he was there. And she embraced him and he said, "Don't cling to me." So what happened was Jesus was dead. He rose from the dead. And the next thing he does is he starts appearing to people. Mary was the first. After this, he appeared to the disciples. Then he appeared to Thomas. This goes on in the book of John. Then he appeared to over 500 people. And then he appeared to the Apostle Paul. I was listening to the radio yesterday, and one of the pastors was talking about Easter. And they said, if you would give everyone who had witnessed the risen Christ 6 minutes in a court of law to talk about what they saw, it would be 50 hours of testimony. Yes, I saw him. Yes, I met him. He met me at the tomb. He met me over here. Yes, I put my hand in his side. 50 hours. So he started appearing to people. So this is the story of the resurrection. And what I want to look at specifically is, because the resurrection happened, what can we trust in? What does it prove? And so we're going to go right to the book of Romans. Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle Paul. And Paul wrote different letters in the New Testament. I'm going to look right in the beginning of Romans 1. And this won't be up on your screen. This is a letter from Paul. This is the introduction of the book. "A slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle, sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son and his earthly life, and he was born into King David's family line." So this, I found four things we should be confident about because of the resurrection. And Paul gets to it right in the beginning of this book. "And he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord." This is right in the beginning of the book of Romans. He was shown to be, we had this drama up here where we had Rob and Shawnee, the scribe, going, "I'm not making your sign. Why should I make your sign?" There was a great argument, great debate about who Jesus was. A few people left. You either loved him or you hated him. It seemed to be few people left unchanged. Some people wanted him killed, and they did kill him. But Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He said, I am the Son of God. And Paul says, I've met some people who say some silly things. Some say some crazy things. Some people say some things that I know are not true. They can't be true. Jesus said some astounding things. He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. Jesus said this. He says, I saw Satan fall from heaven. How can you say that? Where are you standing when you say that? But Jesus rose from the dead. We can be confident that Jesus is who he says he is. Because he said he would rise again. All the scriptures say this. And he rose up again. We can be confident of that. The Apostle Paul goes on in the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, if you know about the church in Corinth, the church in Corinth had a lot of problems, a lot of very severe problems. You know how we have our breaking of bread services? People will meet in homes, and once a quarter we remember the Lord together here. People were getting drunk at their breaking of bread services. And Paul had to write a letter. He says, you should stop that. You should stop that. It shouldn't be happening at your church service. So, in 1 Corinthians, he's laying out a case. People in the church were arguing that the resurrection wasn't real. There was no resurrection of the dead. People were arguing that in the church. And Paul makes the counter-argument. And this is in 1 Corinthians 15. The resurrection is proof that God has the power, Jesus Christ has the power to forgive sin. Because he rose from the dead, and Paul makes this reverse argument. He's saying, if there is no resurrection, he says, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. And you're still guilty. The opposite is true. If the resurrection happened, which we just looked at, they never found the body of Jesus. It's not here. They tried. They had the tomb guarded. They had rolled a huge stone in front of it and put a guard there, but the grave couldn't hold him. He was shown to be... I'm sorry, wrong verse. If you turn this around, if the resurrection happened, which it did, there's power to forgive sin. Paul goes on in the next three verses. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we're to be pitied more than anyone else. What he's saying is, we're living for the reward that comes later. Why live a Christian life if there is no resurrection? Why bother? This is hard. To live for God, to choose what's right, we do this for what's later. Verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who died. So Paul is going, Jesus met with me. I saw him. Jesus met with me. He's the first one to be raised. And that's going to happen to me too, to everyone. Power to forgive sin. Next one, power over death. This is Romans 6, 9. Are you ever been very confident of something, ever sure of something? I'm sure, I'm confident, I know this. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. Paul was sure of something because of the resurrection. This was not a faraway, ethereal, religious concept for Paul. His life turned around when he met Jesus Christ. Drastically turned around. Jesus told him, he says, who are you? He says, I am Jesus Christ, the one who you are persecuting. And he said, I need to change. I will follow you. Now I understand. Now I understand. I'm running against God, and I will turn around. Paul says, because of the resurrection, we're sure of these things. We are sure. What's he sure of? We're sure of this. What's this? You know, he doesn't tell you in this verse. He's talking about the things he said right before. And I want to look at these. What is he sure of? Because of the resurrection. Since we have been united with him in death, we've been raised to life as he was. He's saying there's new life. There's power over death. That's what resurrection is. Something was dead. There was no life. The life was taken away and it was brought back to life. He's going, that happens with us. Not just the Jesus rise, but he gives us new life. We will be raised too. There's power over death. There's more than that. Look at the next verse. Paul is saying, we know our sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Power over death means there's power over sin. You can live a different life. You don't have to live a sinful, indulgent, selfish life. God gives us the power to do that. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean you're not going to need help. Doesn't mean you're not going to stumble. Doesn't mean you're not going to need to learn how to ask God to let him help you and not do it yourself like we're so used to. We're no longer slaves to sin. Power over death. We can live a different life. The friend who says, there's no hope for me. There's no hope for me. You know how screwed up I am? You know how screwed up, what a mess I made? That's not what this says. Whatever it is. Oh, you think God didn't know that? He doesn't understand that? Christ, the power that raised Christ from the dead isn't enough for your situation? He can easily handle your problem. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. The power of sin is destructive. Sin leads to death. It is always destructive. It leads to death. Power over death. So when the resurrection is proof of that. Ephesians 2, new life. That even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised us from the dead. Gave us life. He gave us life. That's what resurrection is. It's new life. It must have been an amazing thing when Jesus came on the earth. The devil is the enemy of God. He is the enemy of your life as well. He is always bent on the opposite of what God wants. Death and destruction and deception. Those are his plans. Those are his schemes. When Jesus came to earth and took on flesh, I don't know what the devil thought, but he must have thought something, this is my chance. God has taken on a form that can die. Here is my chance to get back at God, to take the life of the Son of God. Here is my chance. What happened? The devil followed through on his plan and God used it to provide for our sacrifice. He did not count on Jesus rising from the dead. He said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life. I've come to give you forgiveness and a new hope that you can live in a new way. The resurrection is a sign that the devil's reign is limited. He lost at the cross. If Jesus just died, That would have been it. But he came back to prove that the devil's defeated. So, I'm just going to recap these four here. These four things the resurrection proves. It proves that Jesus Christ is divine and he is the Son of God. He is. This is what he said would happen. In 3 days, I will rise again. In 3 days, I will rebuild this temple. He came back. It proves there is power for true forgiveness. Sometimes we don't feel like we can be forgiven. Sometimes we feel like don't. There is power for true forgiveness. There is power over death. That's what resurrection is for everyone who believes. And the resurrection proves that the power of the devil is limited and he will lose in the end and God will win. Why don't we pray and we'll have the music team come up. God, I thank you.